Finley huddled in a ball beneath his sheltering desk, hands pressed tightly to his ears against the overpowering roar of the explosion. As he realized a silence had fallen, he slowly lowered his hands, uncurled, and cautiously raised his head to look about him. Fires had broken out all across the office, with desks burning fiercely here and there like so many warning beacons. Dead and injured lay to every side, some of them burning quietly. Finley didn't spare them more than a glance. He didn't know them. Adrienne was all that mattered now. He saw a red light flashing over a door, and wondered why the alarms weren't sounding. He slowly realized from the utter silence around him that they probably were, but he couldn't hear them. The blast had temporarily deafened him. At least, he hoped it was only temporary. He didn't need another problem. He rose painfully to his feet and stumbled toward his own sled, still hovering where he'd left it. Burning fragments sputtered on the deck around Adrienne, but she seemed unhurt by them. Finley brushed the fragments off the deck with a sweep of his arm and climbed aboard. It was growing uncomfortably hot in the office as the fire spread, and his bare skin was beginning to smart from the heat. The office should have invested in sprinklers. For a moment, that struck Finley as wildly funny, and he giggled helplessly before pulling himself together. He looked down at Adrienne. The deck was slippy with her blood where it hadn't burnt, and her hands were wet and crimson where they tried to hold her guts together. Her face was worryingly colorless, but she was still breathing shallowly. Finley eased the sled forward and out through the break in the window, and headed for Tower Shrek. Evangeline was getting ready for bed, even though it wasn't late. Daddy was coming over for one of his little visits. So she sat in her long white nightdress before her dressing table mirror, listlessly brushing her hair and thinking about killing herself. She knew she wouldn't. She had so much to live for, apart from Daddy, and it would hurt Finley so very much. The mood would pass, as it had so many times before. But for a moment it was comforting to think of ending it all and not having to worry anymore. She wouldn't have to worry about being revealed as a clone, or a member of the Underground, or seeing Finley die in the arena, or suffering through another of Daddy's little visits ever again. And that would feel so good. So good. If society found out about Gregor and her, no one would punish him, but no one would speak to him either. They'd send him to Coventry, in and outside his family, and that would be worse than death to an aristocrat. Of course, if they found out he'd murdered his wife and his original daughter. Evangeline sighed tiredly. So many secrets in one family. Her comm implant activated suddenly, and she sat up straight before her mirror. She'd shut down all the public channels, and only one man apart from her father knew her private code.
Evangeline, this is Finley. I'm in trouble. Can I come to you?
Of course.
It never even occurred to her to say no.
Where are you?
Right outside your window. Open up, will you? It's cold out here.
She jumped up and ran over to the window. The drapes rolled back at her quick gesture, revealing a blood-spattered Finley standing on a gravity sled, hovering on the other side of the steel glass. Even with the surprise of his arrival and the shock of his condition, her first thought was still to wonder how he'd get past Tower Shrek's security. He should have set off any number of alarms just by being there. Even with her beloved Finley, she was still a Shrek. She deliberately pushed the thought aside and hit the emergency controls in the window surround. The great pane of steel glass swung open, and Finley guided the sled forward into her room. The sled took up a hell of a lot of space, even hovering an inch or so above the floor, and Evangeline had to squeeze past it to shut the window again. Finley stepped down from the sled.
Don't worry about security. I've got a little device that takes care of things like that. It's part of what helps protect my secrets. Security won't know I was ever here.
Evangeline seethed impatiently, a dozen questions on her lips, but they died stillborn as she saw the blood spilling off the sled and onto her thick carpets. At first she thought he'd been badly hurt after all, but then her eyes fell on the huddled form lying on the deck of the sled, and her heart nearly stopped when she recognized who it was. Adrienne Campbell. possibly the woman she hated more than anyone, except her father. And Finley had brought her here. Finley picked up his wife with a strained grunt, which more than anything showed how tired and drained he was, and carried her over to Evangeline's bed. He lowered her carefully onto it, then sat down beside her. The last of his strength seemed to go out of him then, and his chin dropped onto his chest as his shoulders slumped. Somewhere in the back of Evangeline's mind, she was wondering how the hell she was going to get all that blood out of her carpets and bedclothes without hiring a dozen new maids, but she made herself concentrate on what was important. Finley needed her help. She moved quickly over to the drinks cabinet, poured out a large brandy, and brought it to him. She had to push the glass into his hand and encourage him to drink it, but the brandy quickly put some color back into his cheeks, and his eyes cleared. Evangeline knelt down before him, her knees squelching on the bloody carpet.
What's happened, Finley? Did you kill her?
No. No. It was the wolves. She's dying, Evie. I have to save her. Do you still have the regeneration machine?
Of course I do, but...
I know. But I can't let her die. Please, Evie.
All right. Because you ask.
She got to her feet, moved over to the dressing table, and dragged it to one side. She activated the hidden controls by hand, carefully punching in the correct code, and part of the wall slid up as the regeneration machine rolled out. Gregor wasn't the only Shrek with secrets. She opened up the long, narrow device, thinking it looked even more like a coffin than usual, and pushed it over beside the bed. Finley picked up Adrienne very gently, ignoring the blood that coursed down his front again, and lowered her into the regeneration device. It closed over her like a grave. And that was that. Her fate was in the hands of the machine now, and all he could do was wait and see. Finley sat down on a nearby chair like a puppet whose strings had been cut, and Evangeline stood before him, her back straight, her mouth a cold, flat line. She didn't need to say anything. Finley took a deep breath.
Adrienne and I are the only survivors of the first rank of the Campbells. Everyone else is dead. The wolves wiped us out. They declared full vendetta and ambushed us in our own tower. They're after me, too, but I shook them off. I shouldn't have come here, but I didn't know where else to go.
Of course you should have come here. No one can hurt you now you're with me. I'm just glad you escaped. Oh, Finley, your whole family.
Yes, only the minor branches and the distant cousins remain now. And the wolves are out in the streets, hunting them down. Clan Campbell is finished.
And Adrienne? What happened to her? Why did you bring her here?
Kid Death stuck her when she tried to save my brother. I'll kill him for that someday. Her only hope was the regeneration machine I left here with you.
But why bring her here at all? Why not let her die? She's always come between us, and you said you never loved her. This is our chance, Finley. All we have to do is switch off the machine and wait. Don't look at me like that. You don't know how hard it's been for me alone without you. You don't know.
I can't just let her die. She doesn't deserve that. She fought so bravely. And as for you and me, there's a price on my head. Now that Clan Campbell's been all but destroyed... We can never be together in society like we'd hoped, because I'm not a part of society anymore. The minute I show my face in public, I'm a dead man. Robert will be the Campbell now, and all he can do is try to salvage as much of the family as he can. He can't help me. He daren't. He might be able to save Adrienne, if she survives. He's on his way here with help. My only chance now is to become an outlaw, go underground. You always said you wanted to be with me, no matter what. Do you still feel that way? Are you willing to throw everything away, give up wealth and station, to be an outlaw with me? Will you come down into the underground with me?
She sat down beside him and held him as tightly as she could.
Of course I will, Finley. You're all I ever wanted.
They sat together for a while in silence, holding each other. And then the regeneration machine made a series of imperative noises. Finley and Evangeline got up reluctantly and went over to look at the readouts. Finley nodded slowly, and Evangeline kept her face carefully blank.
She's in bad shape, but the device has stabilized her. It's going to be some time before the machine's finished with her, and we can't wait that long.
You said Robert was coming here?
With a few friends from the military. They'll look after her and keep her safe.
Tower security won't let him in. Daddy's been even more paranoid than usual just recently, after the incident at the wedding. His guards have orders to shoot anyone who tries to get to me that isn't a Shrek. You said you had a device.
It's an implant. Nothing I can pass on to Robert. Someone has to stay with her, Evie. I can't just abandon her. She deserves better than that.
All right. Let me think.
Evangeline wrapped her arms tightly around herself and paced up and down.
There's more going on here than you know, Finley. There are things I never told you. Things about me.
Finley smiled.
I know all I need to know.
Shut up, Finley. You don't understand. I had to keep this secret even from you. I'm a clone and a member of the Underground.
She saw the look that came over his face and wouldn't let herself look away.
The original Evangeline died in an accident. Daddy couldn't bear to live without her, so he had me cloned. Secretly. Don't look at me like that, Finley. Please. I'm still the same person I've always been.
Are you? I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore. How long ago did all this happen? Is the woman I originally loved dead? Have I been loving a copy ever since?
No. It happened long before we ever fell in love. There's only ever been you and me.
How can I be sure of that?
You can't. You have to trust me.
How can I after this? I told you everything about me, even about the masked gladiator. And you kept this from me.
I had to. I knew you'd react like this.
What else have you been keeping from me?
Nothing. There's nothing else, Finley. Nothing at all.
They stood for a long moment, just staring at each other. When Evangeline finally spoke again, her voice was as calm and steady as she could make it.
We can't stay here. I can take you down into the Underground. They'll accept you if I vouch for you. The wolves can't follow you there. You'll be safe. Valentine Wolf is a member of the Underground, too.
So he could still come after me there? I'd be walking into a trap.
No. The Underground wouldn't permit it. We have very strict rules about inner conflicts. We have to, or we'd never get anything done. When you come to the Underground, you leave your other life behind. We could start again, Finley. Start afresh.
All right. All right. I can't think about all this now. We'll talk some more later, assuming we have a later. What are we going to do about Robert? He's going to be here soon with a small army of his military friends to look after Adrienne. Your father's guards will try to stop him, and I don't think he'll be in any mood to take no for an answer. He'll fight, and there's been enough killing already. How can we get him in here? Can you override your father's commands? Will his people take orders from you?
No. Daddy doesn't trust me with important decisions.
Then you'll have to talk to him. Call him and ask him for help.
Evangeline looked at him steadily.
You don't know what you're asking, Finley.
I'm asking the woman who said she loved me for help. I know you and your father don't get on, but look, this isn't for Adrienne. It's for me.
All right. I'll do it for you.
She moved back to her dressing table and sat down, automatically adjusting her nightgown so that it fell appealingly about her. She had to look her best for Daddy. She activated her comm unit and called her father's private number. She hugged herself tightly so she wouldn't fly apart, and then made herself let go. Like so many times before, she had to be strong. She cut off the comlink, and her father disappeared, replaced by her own face in the mirror's reflection. She turned away from the mirror and looked at Finley dispassionately. He was sitting on the edge of the bed, staring down at his clenched hands, lost in thought. He was soaked in blood, some of it his own, but he'd never even mentioned his own wounds. He couldn't know what his favor had cost her, what she'd had to promise. He must never know. If he did, he'd throw away his own life to kill her father, and she couldn't allow that. She needed him too much. But she wondered if she'd ever feel quite the same about him again.
What are you thinking about?
Finley didn't look up.
My family. They're all dead. I miss them. My father's dead, and I never got a chance to tell him about the real me. He'll never know I was really a warrior, just like him. And William and Gerald are gone. They were there all my life, looking after me, being there when I needed them. Now they're all gone. And there's just me. I'm not even a Campbell anymore. I don't know what I am.
You're the man I love. The man who loves me. I'm your life now. Or isn't that enough for you?
He looked up at her then.
I always said you were all I ever really wanted. Seems I had to lose everything else to find out that was true after all. I love you, Evie. Never doubt it. But I loved my family, too, and a part of me died with them. The rudder of my life is gone, and I don't know what to do.
We get on with our lives. You'll find a new purpose in the underground. I did. Now let's get moving. I think it would be best if we were both long gone before your cousin arrives with his private army.
Finley frowned.
You mean just leave Adrienne and the machine? Won't your father wonder what it was doing here?
I'll think of something plausible to tell him. Now let's go, Finley. We've done all we can here.
Finley nodded and got up off the bed.
You're right. I'm just putting it off. You lead the way, Evie, and I'll follow.
Evangeline smiled.
That's what I like to hear from a man.
She stepped past the dressing table, and a light switched itself on, revealing a concealed elevator.
This was originally intended as an emergency fire escape. Some cyber-rat friends deleted its presence from the main files, and now only I know of its existence. It'll take us down to the sub-basement. No one ever goes there. That's why no one's ever found the hidden tunnel that leads down to the subsystems below the city. You're not the only one with secrets, Finley.
The door slid silently shut behind them, and Evangeline hit the down button with her fist. The elevator began its descent, and for the first time, Evangeline relaxed a little. They were committed now. She looked straight ahead at the closed doors.
There's a place along the way where we can get fresh clothes. Neither of us are in any state to meet people. Are you badly hurt anywhere? There'll be first aid stuff there, but that's all.
I'm fine. I heal quickly.
Evangeline looked at him.
Another implant?
He shrugged.
Something like that. You need every advantage you can get in the arena. The regeneration device can work miracles, but you have to live long enough to reach it.
The dressing table will move itself back into position. There'll be no trace to show where we've gone. Daddy will be surprised when he finds I'm not waiting for him, but by then your cousin should have gotten to Adrienne.
How angry is he likely to be?
Very. Can your cousin handle a little pressure?
Oh, yes. Robert's a lot tougher than he used to be. Poor fellow. What will your father say when you do finally go back?
I don't know if I am going back. You're going to need me in your new life with the underground, and dear Daddy can go to hell. I would have disappeared into the subsystems long ago if it hadn't been for you. And if I hadn't been such a useful contact for the underground, I think that part of my life is over now. Whatever happens from now on, we'll be together. And that's all that really matters.
She still didn't look round, but her hand was in just the right place to receive his when he reached out to her. Finley looked around the meeting place with interest. An abandoned workstation by the look of it, bristling with half-repaired, obsolete equipment. Dangling cables hung from the high ceiling, and battered view screens lined the walls, hissing with static. Evangeline had said he'd be meeting the Esper leaders here so that they could check him out, but as yet there was no sign of them. There was no sign of anyone, and Finley didn't blame them in the least. The place was a dump. And then the Esper leaders appeared suddenly in the chamber before him, and for a moment his poise vanished as he stared with open eyes and mouth. He realized he was gaping and pulled himself together.
Don't worry. Everyone does that the first time they see the leaders.
Finley didn't blame them. A waterfall splashed down from high above, gurgling and splashing. An abstract pattern folded in upon itself endlessly. A giant hog with blood-stained tusks glared at him with tiny crimson eyes, and a 10-foot woman wrapped in shimmering light looked down on him with cold disinterest. Evangeline had warned him that the leaders hid their true identities behind illusions for security reasons, but he hadn't expected them to seem so real. He swallowed hard and held his head high.
Interesting friends you have, Evie. Usually to see something like this, I'd have to ask Valentine for something from his private stash.
Shut up, Finley. You're here under sufferance. The Underground has no use for the families. They've seen too many good men and women killed by the powers that be for daring to struggle to be free. The only reason you weren't shot on sight was because you were with me, and they're not always that happy about me. Now be quiet, and let me try and put in a good word for both of us.
I'm an outlaw now. That means they have to take me, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
It was the Hog.
There are always spies and traitors seeking to destroy us from within.
And what happens to them?
I eat them.
Finley decided to let Evangeline do all the talking. He put on a respectful face and carefully kept his hands away from his sword and gun while she talked to the leaders. He looked across at the few relatively normal-looking people in the chamber with him and moved over to join them, bowing respectfully.
I'm Finley Campbell. Or I was. Not really entitled to the name anymore, I suppose. Are you part of the Underground, too?
My name is Hood. I advise.
The tall man who spoke had no face. He wore a long cloak with a cowl pulled forward. There was only darkness inside the cowl.
Probably another Esper,
thought Finley. He turned his attention to the three women with the same face and gave them his most charming smile.
Don't waste it on us, Dad,
said the woman on the left.
We're married.
Really? Who to?
Each other,
said the woman in the middle.
We're Stevie Blues. Call us 1, 2, and 3, but don't get us mixed up. We get very short-tempered when that happens. We're really very different. Right,
said the woman on the right, Stevie 3.
And we don't like Aristos anyway.
Not many do these days. Perhaps I can help persuade you we're not all bad.
I doubt it. And if you say some of your best friends are clones, I might puke.
Finley decided to take that as an exit line and moved back to Evangeline, who seemed to be summing up. Clones, like Evangeline. She was still talking eloquently to the Esper leaders on his behalf, and there was no one else in the chamber to talk with, so he moved reluctantly back to Hood and the Stevie Blues.
My apologies for our barging in on you like this, but life up above was getting a bit frantic. Guns firing all over the place and assassins on our tail, you know how it is.
Yes, we all do. That's why we're here. The persecution above doesn't automatically buy you acceptance in the world below.
Right.
Finley admired Stevie 3's leather and chains outfit and wondered fleetingly how Evangeline would look in it. He realized the clone was still talking and made himself concentrate on her face. Stevie 3 smiled nastily as though she knew what he'd been thinking.
We don't carry passengers down here, Aristo. No matter who your enemies are, what can you do for us?
Finley's face flushed, and anger sent his hands moving automatically toward his weapons, but he made himself stop in time. It was a fair question.
I'm a fighter. Any weapons, any odds. And I'm the best you'll ever see.
The three Stevies waited, and then smiled slightly as they realized he'd said all he was going to say.
You may get a chance to prove that, Campbell, and sooner than you think.
What did happen to your face? Cut yourself shaving?
Hood turned away without answering, but all three Stevies smiled. Hood came to a halt beside Evangeline and broke into her speech without apology.
The Campbell is a complication. Valentine Wolfe is his enemy. The last thing we need is a blood feud in our midst, particularly when so much is happening. Send him away.
He comes to us in need,
said the waterfall.
Just as you did once, and he, at least, has shown us his face and told us his name. Shall we not show him the charity that was shown you? All the world above is his enemy now, as it is ours. We accept him, provisionally. Prove yourself, Campbell, and you will be made welcome. Fail or betray us, and we may kill you.
Try me. My sword is yours.
The giant Hog nodded once, grunted explosively, and then turned its massive head to look at Hood.
You said you had a matter of importance to discuss with us. We are here. Talk.
In front of him?
Hood gestured disdainfully at Finley.
I protest.
He is one of us now. Accept him as we accept you.
Very well. For a long time now, we've been discussing various ways of freeing our fellow Espers and clones held in prison and condemned to death for their rebellion. Most are held in Silo 9, also known as Worm Boy Hell, a maximum security prison with Esp blockers by the dozen and a small army of guards. Long considered impregnable, none of our people have ever broken in or out and lived to tell of it. We've planned to storm it a dozen times, but we always had to call it off. Projected casualties were just too high. But information has come into my possession that changes everything. There's going to be a complete changeover of the guards this evening, at 2100, as the prison's new security systems are installed. For a short time, it's going to be sheer chaos in there, with new faces all over the place as they yank out the old equipment and plug in the new. The perfect time for us to launch an attack and free all our people rotting in Worm Boy Hell. But we've got to go now if we're to take advantage of this opportunity. The authorities knew how vulnerable they'd be, so this was kept secret from practically everybody right up to the last moment. I only stumbled across it by chance. I've contacted as many of our people as I could reach and had them prepare for action. But I can't launch an attack this big without your approval. We've got to do this. We'll never get a better chance.
The Esper leaders turned to each other, and though they were apparently silent, Finley could all but sense the telepathic arguments crackling between them. He moved in close beside Evangeline and kept his voice low.
Fill me in, Evie. A maximum security prison just for Espers and clones? How come I never heard of it before this?
Not many have. The Empire doesn't like to admit its conditioning fails as often as it does. Most Espers and clones used to die trying to break free of their conditioning, but an increasing number are surviving. The Empire's tried augmenting the usual mental blocks and controls with tech and chemical implants, but they kill as many as they cure, and there's always a pressing demand for more Espers and clones. We're so useful. Most failures are locked away in the usual prisons until they can be disposed of. They don't bother with trials. Clones and Espers are property, not people. Silo 9 is where they send the hard cases, the ones who fought back, who questioned their orders or dared to think for themselves. And, of course, anyone found guilty or even suspected of being members of the Underground. Officially, Silo 9 doesn't exist, which means they can do anything at all there that they feel like. The prisoners become just so many warm bodies, used for experimentation.